everyone. Welcome to WD Carousel Podcast. My name's Ian.
And I'm Crystal.
And today we are going to do a little deep dive on something that we really haven't gone into that much previously.
No, we haven't.
We are going to talk about Disney bounding, which some of you are probably very familiar with and some of you may not be very familiar with.
Okay, we're going to do a little bit more than Disney bounding.
True.
So we want to discuss how you can embody or become your favorite character while you are enjoying the parks.
Right.
And there's different levels, different qualifiers, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
We have touched base on this before when we were talking about, like, the Halloween episodes.
Yes, that is true. We did talk about what we did for that.
But there is so much more that can be involved in this. So we thought it would be a fun way to break some of the misnomers around how to dress up in the parks.
Define the guidelines based on who you are and what you can do.
Yeah, it is not at all like that episode of The Big Bang Theory where all the adult women head over to Disneyland and then dress up like their favorite princesses and get full ball gown costumes.
No. So let's, because you brought it up.
Sure.
Let's jump right into Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique then.
Yes.
Since that is where typically you get that treatment.
That was the original dress-up location.
Yeah. Yep. And there's a couple of them. Famously, there's one in the Cinderella's Castle.
In Magic Kingdom.
Magic Kingdom. And basically, you go in and you can start. You can just, there's a bunch of different kinds of makeover packages you can do.
So there are a whole herd of fairy godmothers in training.
Yes.
That come up and are willing to transform your little child. And it is little. There is an age range. It's between 3 and 12.
Yep.
That you can qualify to go there. But you can choose any sort of fancy package that you want. And they'll do, like, the smallest package in Magic Kingdom is $75. Probably pre-tax. Oof. And for that, you get what? Hair, makeup, mostly done with Q-tips, let's be honest. nail polish. Again, you're doing it on a 5-year-old, probably, so that's not going to last long.
Right.
And then you get a sash.
A sash.
For $75.
Right. Which feels like a lot, to be honest.
It does feel like a lot.
I mean, granted, what do I know? I don't know anything, but that does seem like a lot. But saying that, it can get so much more expensive.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So you can start doing, you know, into things like, probably especially when they're a little bit older than 3, you know, you can start getting into super high-end dresses. The dresses are much more complete and detailed. You can get, like,
higher quality materials
for it.
All of that fun
stuff.
Yeah,
like a crystal tiara, so it's, like, not just plastic. You've got glass,
it's like
crystal.
Swarovski.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Satin hanger for your dress, a garment bag, you know, all of the hair and makeup stuff as it was before. And you could be spending easily $450 for that.
Per child.
Per child. Which, whoo, that is a lot of money.
I mean, if you got a little princess that you want to spoil and you got the money to throw, I mean,
you do you.
You do you.
That's great.
These are also, I'm pretty sure, the people that have found the Cinderella Stagecoach strollers.
Oh, my God.
You know you've seen them in the past. And
I feel like I have,
what was it? A couple years ago, Disney said they were getting rid of the ability to be able to bring those strollers in. I still see them.
Yeah, I'm sure that,
Disney has not gotten rid of them. So you pay $450 for your little princess, and then you push her around in a Cinderella Stagecoach stroller and just do the whole thing. And the little girl does not realize that you probably dropped almost $1,000.
To do that.
On her day there.
Just
including the park passes and yada yada. I mean, that's kind of crazy.
If it really truly makes their day and they'll remember it forever, you know, that's fine. Like, spend the kind of money to, sure, that experience with them and everything is great. It's when it's like, this person is 3. They're not going to remember this.
I mean, but that's the same with any time that you bring children to Disney. The likelihood that they're going to remember is slim to none.
Yep.
You bring children to Disney for you and your memories.
Right.
So if you want to have the pleasure of the whole process and taking photos and, you know, your child's going to light up so bright and just be so happy, even though they might not remember it, is it worth it to you? It could be. And right. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. But a makeover package is probably not for you. That's kind of my thing. It's like, goes back to Walt's original vision for, like, Disneyland and Disney World is, you know, it's something that the parents and kids can enjoy together, and that is less of a thing when you're dropping, like, a bunch of money on a kid that may not remember it.
Disney's going to take the money however they want.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I just think it's funny that you should, personally, if I was to have a child, God forbid, I would theoretically want them to be old enough to remember that they were going to do it, because it's something that I want them to remember for a while and enjoy. And
speaking of that, you know, so far we've been talking about the girls' options, but right. what about the boys' options, or those that identify more masculine?
Right.
They had expanded a little bit in Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique.
Okay.
With some nights packages. There are a total of two nights packages.
Okay.
One is like $20. And they get, like, some hair gel and a plastic shield and sword.
classic. Absolutely classic.
And I think there's another one that's, like, a little over that, and they might actually get, like, the Prince Charming costume or something like that.
Yep.
I didn't remember to write down that price. Yeah. But then in recent years, they came out with another version of dress-up that seems more boy oriented,
right? Which was the pirates stuff,
the pirates league,
yeah, and that's over in Adventureland.
Near what pirates in Adventureland?
I know, and it's over near Pirates of the Caribbean, which also makes sense. And you would be able to go in, and those packages would start again in like the $20 to $75 range, and you could be either, you know, a pirate. There's different packages of like pirate, first mate, Captain Hook. Be a mermaid, so they could bring the gals. Uma, yeah, they had all sorts of fun stuff. And it makes sense to me because back in the day, whenever it was, when I was, you know, between 8 and 10 years old and I went to Disney, I wouldn't have wanted to do the Knights package. And I think the only reason why, I actually didn't want to do any of them, but logic. I wouldn't have wanted to go into Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. Because it felt inherently girly.
Yeah, that's girl stuff.
Yeah, it's girl stuff. I can't do boy stuff in there.
Yeah.
So the idea that they created this, like, pirate layer to do it is totally brilliant, and that makes total sense, because there's just no way, like, you couldn't convince most boys that they'd want to go in and do that. It's my thought on that, but yeah. I could be wrong. Now, maybe it was more there because they had sisters who were already there. That could be what it was.
And I will say, Disney does not discriminate. So if you have a little boy that wants to dress up like a princess, 100% they'll do it. And they'll enjoy it and have a great time with it.
Yeah.
And vice versa as well.
Yeah.
Currently, though, both of these experiences are not available.
Right.
Due to COVID guidelines.
COVID reasons. Yep.
Does not mean that your children cannot dress up. So if you go on the Disney World website, you will find a whole, like, guideline for dressing up. Most of the time with kids, they can get away with pretty much anything as long as it's not a real weaponry.
Right.
It's not too big where they're going to trip and fall.
Right.
And other than that, they don't care.
Right.
They're pretty open to whatever you want to do. And, I mean, it makes sense because nobody's going to mistake your little, you know, Belle as being the character from the movie.
Right.
And that's where it comes into the adult issues, because there are plenty of adults that want to dress up as well.
Right.
And except for only specific times... in only specific events, you are not allowed to actually dress up.
Yep.
And then even when you do, there are heavy guidelines.
Right.
So the main ones that you are allowed to actually dress up in full costume are going to be the Halloween parties and the villains parties.
Right.
Those are after hours events, so you can't wear a costume during the day. It is only during those party hours.
Yep. And... there are other restrictions about actions as well. There's a kind of a whole swath of things. And this is for people who are over the age of 12. So this is like
14, actually.
Is it 14? Okay. Yeah. So 14 up, these are the rules. And under that, the rules that you have that are for the rest of the year are what you still get. So it's this is the rule. These only rules take into consideration for people who don't fall into the category of people who can go to the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, basically. So those sorts of situations are, for example, you can dress as your character, but you may not like pose for pictures. You can't sign autographs. You can't engage in the behaviors that the walk around characters do. And so that's a thing. Obviously, they have to be family friendly. They can't get in the way. They can't be violent. They can't be, you know,
lewd.
Yes, exactly. Could you imagine? Right. So these are the kind of the obvious things for sure.
Again, with the props, they can't actually have anything that can be easily mistaken or resemble an actual weapon.
Right.
Again, no sharp objects, pointed objects, anything that you can violently attack another person with.
Right.
They're like against, which makes sense.
Which makes sense. Yep.
Layered costumes are another one. And what they mean by this is they're talking about, like, pretending that you are in the shower and you're wearing, like, this huge shower curtain around situation.
Yes.
You need to be, they need to actually see what you're doing.
Right.
So they need
you to. You couldn't dress as Lightning McQueen.
You couldn't dress like as Lightning McQueen. Yeah. You can't dress as Chewie. You need to actually be able to see a face.
Right.
So no full body fursuits allowed.
Yep.
Along with that, no masks. You actually put over your face.
So you need to identify the person.
We did have a caveat that we found a workaround on that when we went down as Lock, Shock, and Barrel.
Yes.
So we were wearing the masks, but they were actually not on our face. I had mine on top of my hat. I know that the third of our party had his on a belt loop.
Yep. I don't know if I held mine or I put it on a bag that I was holding or
something like that. It allowed them to get the point across that we were Lock, Shock, and Barrel, but we didn't actually wear the masks.
Right.
So that was allowed.
Right.
One thing that I've seen listed on the website, but they don't really enforce it, are dress lengths.
Yeah.
Because they say you're not supposed to have a dress go all the way down and hit the floor. Same with cape lengths. I think that's to try and...
Oh, yeah. If you're in, like, a busy space or...
Or even just to show that, no, this is a costume. This isn't the actual character.
Sure.
Because the actual characters have, like, the hoop skirts and the ball gown touching the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see the character's feet at all sort of situation.
Right, right.
But if they have it up over their ankles, then...
You know it's not a thing.
You kind of realize that it's a guest.
Absolutely. And I definitely see that. Yeah, and then it's possible that they also made it in case it became a problem, too. Like,
you're not trying to sneak someone in under
your hoop skirt. Well, there's that. Yeah, there's that. And just, like, you're in Disney, which is, you're very in very tight quarters a lot of the time. And I could imagine it being, like, people keep stepping on your dress or cape or whatever, and eventually the Disney will just be like, okay, you can't have that. You need to either take it off or leave, you know? So it gives them an option.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, there is, outside of the Halloween parties, one area of the park where you can, as an adult, kind of dress up on a more regular basis, and that would be Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Right.
And there, they have their list of guidelines as well. Primarily, just they want you to feel like you could potentially be a character in the Star Wars universe, but you are not a licensed character.
Right.
You also cannot attack people.
Right. Right.
So, and by that, they're saying no hard armor or anything, because you could potentially bump into someone and cause damage.
or
that sort of thing.
I mean, the stuff that I was seeing, because they have like a permitted attire and not permitted attire kind of list of do's and don'ts and photos to go along with it. And the stuff that worked, it's actually kind of shocked at how permissive some of it was.
I was shocked as well.
Yeah, because you would get, you know, outfits that really felt like they were... You know, like, especially, like, trimmed outfits with vests and belts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's all cool. They just don't want you to wear robes. They don't want you to wear, you know, like a Chewie outfit or an Ewok or something that's fully covering like usual. And you can't dress up specifically like a Rebel, you know, pilot. Like, things that have distinctive Star Wars, you know, memorabilia or props. But if you want to dress up looking vaguely like Rey, but you're wearing just, like, you know...
Cream.
cream-colored, you know, shirt V-neck with, you know, a vest that sits the same way with the belt and whatever. That's allowed. You can totally do that, which I was kind of surprised by. A couple of these were very like, oh, that's actually looks pretty close to being like what I would want to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't wear like, can't be an Imperial Guard. Obviously not going to be allowed. You know, yeah. You can't wear full Jedi robes and you can't, you know, those sorts of things,
yeah.
Which is an interesting caveat because you cannot wear some things that you can buy in the park.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a weird caveat that I think that it's funny that Disney, I understand why they made this line in the sand, but also it is kind of funny to be like, and here's your thing that you can't have until you leave.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine, but it is a point of distinction. It's like, just because you bought it in the park doesn't mean you can
wear it right now.
However, you are allowed to keep lightsabers on you.
Yes.
That is an interesting thing that they allowed, because normally that would be not allowed,
yeah,
in most parts of the parks. But, you know, the thing with Batuu is it's so, it makes you want to cosplay so bad,
mm-hmm,
that they kind of had to be a little more permissive with it and allowing, you know, having your lightsaber on your holster is okay.
And why don't we explain cosplay a little bit? Because there's,
yeah,
cosplay,
and then there's Disney.
The final thing that we're going to discuss is Disney bounding.
Bounding, yeah. So with cosplay, and obviously I have done less of it than you have, but mm-hmm, I'm just going to go ahead and explain it anyway because I don't know what's wrong with me.
You were on a roll. I was going to let you go.
Yeah, thanks. So with cosplay, it's a lot more in depth. You know, whoever the cosplayers, they are really true artists. You have, best way to describe this, it's, they try to go, and everyone has their own kind of way of doing it, but overall the idea is to go for, I'm trying to almost role play as this character in the best way I can,
mm-hmm,
in most situations. So, mm-hmm, people will make their outfits as accurate as possible. They'll try to make them have props that are really, really realistic and really, really, you know, close to the thing. And people, you know, when you're in a convention, people be like, oh my God, I know this is so-and-so from this thing. And that's an entire part of a lot of convention culture is
yep,
cosplayers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating and it's amazing work that they do. But it is also in direct violation with what Disney allows on property for people who are over the age of, you know, 13.
Yes.
So that is kind of where people have started to work on what we were going to talk about last, which is Disney bounding, to try to get around that.
Yeah. I will say, though, I'm going to be going down again in January with a friend of mine who hasn't been down in 20 years.
Sure.
And she had never heard the concept of Disney bounding. So I was like, well, here's what Disney bounding is, but since we're primarily going so you can go hang out in Galaxy's Edge, you can also, because she's a cosplayer as well, I'm, mm-hmm, like, the costumes that you've created for your cosplay at these conventions do qualify for you to wear in Galaxy's Edge.
Right.
So she has, like, a Hoth Leia outfit that is just vague enough that you can,
yeah,
see that what it's supposed to be, but wouldn't be flagged for Disney.
Right.
Same with a General Leia outfit. And she,
right,
has all of these.
Right.
But then I explained to her, because I'm like, well, you can either do that, which would make you feel like you're immersed into Batuu, which is a wonderful thing, because that's the,
yep,
point of that,
yep,
region.
It's all about that.
But there's the rest of the parks that we can do Disney bounding in as well. And she was like, what's Disney bounding? And Disney bounding is where you take everyday street clothes,
mm-hmm,
and you figure out a way to use those to be inspired by a character. So,
yep,
that way when people look at you, they get the idea of the character,
yep,
but you are not screen accurate.
Right. You are. It's sort of the impressionist version of cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
You are wearing all street clothing that passes Disney's guidelines, but you are also giving off the vibe that lets people know that this is the character you're portraying in the same way that a cosplayer would want to.
Yes.
You know, like when you're, it's like, this is something that is important to me. I am cosplaying as this character. That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, is really cool that they've kind of, that this has kind of taken on. Now, Disney bounding, I was absolutely confused as to what that meant, like the actual word. So we had to do a little bit of research before the podcast, but essentially, from best I can tell, the phrase Disney bounding basically is just adding ing to Disney bound. Like, this outfit is Disney bound. Like, I'm taking this outfit to Disney. It's Disney bound, which means that it complies with Disney. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where that terminology appears to have come from. But essentially, it's just cosplay, but Disney compliant is the best way I like to describe it.
Yeah, street clothes cosplay.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, there's other types of bounding, too. There's history bounding and all of that. But Disney bounding is the one that I was first introduced to as well. And I do it a lot when I go to the parks. I even do it for some of the Halloween parties and yada yada. Yep. So I am a villains girl. I almost always, if I'm going to cosplay, dress as a villain. So I've been Anastasia, and my partner at the time was Drizella, and I think we got our outfits pieced together from stuff on Amazon.
Right.
Skirt, shirt, hair stuff, all of that. Before I've done Mad Madam Mim, same thing. And it's just regular clothes and maybe a wig.
Yep.
And or another key item or a purse. They've been doing a lot of character themed purses recently.
Right.
That you can wear your general bold block colored ensemble.
Yep.
And then have the purse and everybody's like, oh, you're Flounder.
Right.
That makes sense.
Right. Right.
So when I go to Disneyland for Halloween, I am planning on doing a cross femme Gaston.
I love that.
So I will be wearing leather pants. I have knee-high boots. I'm going to be getting a red shirt, and I need to figure out the yellow collar and cuffs.
Yep, yep.
And then I'll probably, like, faux hawk my hair.
Right.
But it's stuff that I have most of it in my closet already. Right. So all I need to do is really focus on the yellow stuff.
Right.
And that's clothes that I wear every day. But that's what Disney bounding is.
Absolutely.
It is allowing you to become a character without officially being a character, where Disney would potentially get mad at you for embodying and
trying to too closely emulate something that's already maybe in the park.
Or let guests get confused thinking you are. And then if you say something wrong or if you act inappropriately, it could go against the Disney brand, and they do not want that to happen.
It seems to me it kind of breaks down. Their rules about cosplay seem to break down to kind of two main camps. It's like brand image and safety are kind of seem to be like the two main things. Because it's, you know, like, the on one hand, it's kind of like making sure that no one is ever able to not distinguish you from a Disney, like, trained and branded actor, or not be able to identify you.
Yeah.
Like, one of those two things appears to be, like, the main thing that they try to push, so.
So, if you are interested in dressing up as your favorite character and happen to be over the age of 12 or 13, look into Disney bounding. There is a huge rabbit hole that you can go down with lots of inspiration, lots of ideas. You can definitely, like, thrift shop a lot of this stuff, too. It's honestly one of the most affordable ways to try and cosplay. Right. As long as you're not trying to go, like, screen accurate, appropriate, yada, yada.
Right.
Yeah, totally do it. I am 100% all on board for Disney bounding, and I love seeing characters and, you know, trying to play the guessing game and who's what and what are you going to be. And
absolutely.
So.
No, it's interesting, and I'm kind of excited to see kind of more as we go, kind of more stuff that happens and being able to kind of be more aware of seeing other people do it. Mm-hmm. So something I wasn't necessarily paying attention to early on in my Disney life. You know, I didn't think about the fact that people were doing that. And now it's like the last time I went, I was like, oh, that person's Disney bounding. Mm-hmm. My parents were like, what? Sorry. It's okay.
And on that note, this has been WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
And I'm Ian.
And we hope you have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Just a dream.